Let's do go ahead and continue then with this present series on salvation from the tyranny of our emotions. This is, of course, a series within a series. The broader series is a series on salvation in all of its aspects. And now we're looking specifically at salvation from the tyranny of our emotions, and we spent a number of weeks together looking at this. And last week I told you, or wanted you to get four different verses. I'm going to have you get those same verses again today. So open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Those of you that were here with us, you'll remember these verses. At least you should, right? Ephesians. Okay, is sound better now? Okay, sound is back now? Yes, okay, cool. Yeah, I guess we lost it maybe just for a second there. Get those four passages. So Ephesians 6:10, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, 2 Timothy 2, 1, and then Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and Philippians 3, verse 1. And then, Dan, is the sound keep cutting out, or are we still okay? Not for me. Okay, for how about, everything's fine. How about for everybody else? Is the sound still cutting out? I think, okay, sound's back now. Okay, good. All right, thanks everyone. Appreciate that. So, I'm not sure who's posting verses. By the way, whoever, we often have different ones. Carol posts quite often, or Scott and so forth, things like that. But whoever's posting, excuse me, I'm going to sneeze here. If you want to go ahead and post those four verses, that would be helpful. Ephesians 6:10, 2 Timothy 2:1, Galatians 5:1, and Philippians 3:1. So they're easy verses to remember, they're easy to locate and everything. And this is kind of a continuation from last week. What we were trying to convey is this, that in talking about salvation from the tyranny of our emotions, not all emotions are bad, nor are all emotions tyrannical. Okay? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, those are good emotions, right? You know that. But we're talking about the emotions that tend to take control of us, and emotions of anxiety, fear, doubt, self-condemnation, all those worthlessness, those types of things, feeling like you don't measure up, everybody's better than you, all those false emotions and false self-accusations. So we're, in talking about in the series Salvation from the Tyranny of Emotions, we don't want to be run by our emotions anyway. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. So what we're saying here in these four verses, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What we tried to say last week about that is the first thing you have to know who you are in Christ. You got to know who you are in Christ in order to be strong in that. When Paul says there, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, that is, you got to be strong in who you know you are in Christ, but you have to believe who God says you are in Christ. You got to believe what He says. There's no power in unbelief. There's no power in unbelief. It's not often that I ask all of you to type in on the screen. Dan and I were talking about that this past week, that one of the reasons that we usually red dot everybody and had for a long, long time, we're kind of lightening up on that a little bit, is because all the chatter that tends to go on in a lot of the Pal Talk rooms, so we're willing to cut back on that. But if you're listening to me right now, and if you're at your keyboard listening, I want you to type a statement in. I want you to type this statement in. Okay, here's the statement. Here's the statement. There is no power in unbelief. Type that in. Go ahead. I'm going to wait. Okay? And if you're listening to this as a recorded message, then just write that down or type it in somewhere anyway. Just put it in your thinking. Make sure you know there is no power in unbelief. There's no power in unbelief. the power is in the Word of God, and the power in the Word of God is released or realized or experienced when we believe God's Word. So when we're saying, based on Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You have to be strong in who God says you are in Christ. So you have to know who you are in Christ, but you got to believe who you are in Christ. You got to believe who God says you are in Christ. You have to adopt God's viewpoint. You have to trust that it is so. And this is all repeat from last week, okay? So I'm going quickly here. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The power of His might is His Word. The power of His ability to work is His Word. So you got to know who you are in Christ. You got to believe who God says He has made you to be in Christ. And then you got to rest in that. So we said to ask yourself the question. In the morning when you get up and when you go to bed at night and several times throughout the day, just ask yourself the question. Who does God say that I am in Christ? Who does God say He has made me to be in Christ? And then answer that question. Start your day with that kind of question. Instead of with questions of doubt, fear, discouragement, self-condemnation, self-belittling thoughts. Instead of starting your day when you wake up with those, with allowing those kind of thoughts to go through your mind, instead of choosing to let those thoughts go across your mind, start your day when you wake up with a different set of thoughts. And the way you add that different set of thoughts, ask yourself a different set of questions. Ask God, God, who do you say you have made me to be in Christ? And then go and think through those verses. You know, there's so many. Ephesians 1:6, Ephesians 1:7, Ephesians 2:8-9, Ephesians 2:6 and 7, and so on. All those verses. Colossians 2:10, Colossians 1:13, all those verses. You know those verses, okay? So, and Scott, you're right, a saint to the Most High God. So, wake up, and then throughout the day, ask yourself that question. When you feel yourself allowing and choosing throughout the day, when you feel yourself choosing to let those thoughts of doubt and anxiety and self-condemnation, all those things, when you find yourself choosing to let those things cross your mind, stop. There's no power in unbelief. If you really want to be saved from the tyranny of your emotions, then make a choice right then and there to stop choosing to allow those negative thoughts, those tyrannical thoughts, and hence the emotions that accompany those tyrannical thoughts, stop those and go back to this question, who does God say you are in Christ? Then the second thing we talked about, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So not only do you want to know who God says you are in Christ, you want to know the type of relationship that you are in with the Father because of the fact that you're in the Son. And it is a relationship identified as a relationship of grace, not a relationship of the law. So to state that another way, it is a relationship where you are already completely 100% accepted, complete, blessed, unconditionally, forever loved. It is not a relationship based upon how your day went yesterday or last week or going to go tomorrow or even today. It's not a relationship based upon that. Let me try to use an illustration. Think of gravity. Now, granted, gravity is not God, but gravity is something He's blessed us with on this earth. Okay, it keeps us to the earth and so forth. There's so many ways that gravity benefits us as humans. But think about just the nature of gravity. Gravity doesn't really care whether or not you had a bad day yesterday or the week before or going to have a bad day today or not. Gravity just unconditionally is there. It doesn't even care whether you love it back. It's always there. Gravity. It's just always there. Okay? So, in a very, very small way, but just a similar concept, that God's love for you is not conditioned upon how the events of your life went yesterday or going today. In other words, even if things went bad, God still eternally loves you in Christ. Eternally accepts you in Christ. See that? So you have to understand that the type of relationship that you are in with the Father, because you are in the Son, is a relationship of grace. It is a relationship not based upon your performance, but based upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to know that. But you have to believe it. There is no power in unbelief. The power is in the Word of God, and the Word of God works when you believe it. So when you wake up in the morning, the first question you're going to ask yourself is, who does God say He has made me to be in Christ? And then the follow-on question after you answer that one, think through that one, is, what does God's Word say about the type of relationship that I have with Him in and through Christ? Ah, it's a relationship of grace. Therefore, it's not a relationship of condemnation. Therefore, it's not a relationship one that beats you up. Therefore, it is not a relationship that you need to live under fear. Therefore, it is not a relationship where God has these unrealistic expectations of you. Isn't that interesting? Okay? Let me have you look at an interesting and I think a wonderfully encouraging verse over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1. Watch this. I'm going to start at verse... Actually, I'm going to go down to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this. It says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that a wonderful verse, by the way? You see, too often we live our lives emphasizing and thinking about whether or not we are faithful. And we should be faithful. Don't misunderstand me there. But our identity in Christ and our relationship to the Father is not based upon our fidelity. It's based upon God's fidelity. Because He is faithful and because His Word is powerful, we can be faithful. But being faithful does not come as a result of you and I focusing on ourselves, seeking to, in and of ourselves, be faithful. In and of ourselves, we have the flesh. In and of ourselves, we choose self. In and of ourselves, we serve self. It's only as we trust God's Word, believe in what He says, resting in what His Word says, it humbles us. It makes us meek. It makes us realize we need to depend upon Him and His Word. And hence, that's what produces faithfulness on our part. It's not by trying to live up to some unrealistic expectation that God has placed us under. Rather, it is living in the victory we already have in Christ. It is living in Christ where we already live. It is living out of the resource of Christ as our life. It is living out of the resource of the Word of God being God's power in our life. It is living out of the fact that God is the one who is faithful. And then look at notice what else that verse says. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. From before the foundation of the world, there was a fellowship and a love and a glory that existed among the Godhead, completely independent and apart from His creatures. I'm talking about before the creation. There was a fellowship among the Godhead. And that fellowship was based upon the mutual love and admiration that God had for one, for each other. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and so forth. Is the fellowship that we have been called unto. There was a fellowship that was already going on among the Godhead. In that particular verse, you can see the connection with the Father and the Son. That fellowship was already going on. And by the gospel of God's grace, you and I were called to participate and enjoy and appreciate and live in that fellowship. We don't make the fellowship when we get saved. The fellowship, the party was already going on. We were invited to participate and join that party. And listen, you might be, as they say, a party pooper or a guy that comes and smashes the breaks up the party. You're never going to break up that party. Okay? That is a fellowship that existed between the Father and the Son before you ever joined it, before I ever got into it. That goes before the foundation of the world. And so that's the fellowship that we were called unto. And that's an obvious link and a connection with the grace that we have been called unto. You and I, the type of relationship that we have with the Father is because of who we are in the Son. It's a relationship of grace. So when you wake up in the morning, ask yourself that question. What type of relationship is it that the Father has to the Son and the Son to the Father? In fact, let me just ask you now, just really quickly, everybody just type in one or two words. What, for example, it's a relationship of unconditional love. Just type some things in there if you will. I'll wait for a couple minutes if y'all want to type some things in. What's a word or maybe a couple of words that would describe the type of relationship that exists between the Father and the Son under grace? That's right, love and grace. Excellent, good. What else? Scott, you said it's wonderful. That's absolutely true, okay? What else? It's one of faithfulness. Absolutely good, wonderful. What else? Any other ideas there? No condemnation, total acceptance, right? Total enjoyment, peace. Oh, that's good. Peace and giving, that's very good. Mutual respect, mutual giving. It's a glorious relationship, all those types of things. Listen, that's the kind of relationship that you are in with the Father because of the fact that you are in the Son. So when that verse says, "Thou therefore, my Son," I'm back at 2 Timothy 2:1 now. He says, "Thou therefore, my Son, be strong in the grace." You've got to know the type of relationship that you're in when you're in grace. But you have to believe that it is so. There is no power in unbelief. The power is in the Word. And the Word, the power that's in the Word is released. It's realized when we believe the Word. See that? A relationship of love and acceptance. That's exactly right. Okay, so now let's move on. That's kind of review from last week. Now let's move on. So that being the case, now we're going to turn to Galatians and chapter 5. In verse 1, go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. So that's all review from last week. Look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. We're going to finish these other two today and try to put all this together. Look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. You know the verse. You probably have it memorized. If not, I'm sure you will. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So the point on this is, you know, just stand fast where God has made you to stand. Stand where God has made you to stand. Just stay there. Don't run away. Don't allow fear, threats, anxiety, discouragement, depression, self-condemnation. Don't allow it to move you away from where God says you stand. Christ has made us free. So stand fast. Now, I understand that the context of this verse is the idea of don't allow ourselves to be put back under the law. That's the very point. That is the issue. When you and I live under not grace, but when we live under the law of self-condemnation, self-criticism, we are allowing ourselves to go back under the bondage system instead of appreciating who we are in Christ. So we need to train our mind and train our heart to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Christ has made us free. Free from what? Free from what? Go ahead, type some things in. Free from what? When that verse says where Christ has made us free. Hath made us free. Free from what? Go ahead and type some things in. Someone type some free from fear. That's right. Free from sin. Absolutely. Good. Free from failure. Good. What else? Anything else? free from what? Obviously free from the law, which all those things come under that category. Good. What else? Free from self-condemnation, right? Free from the law, all that. See, we are free. He has made us free from a system that is acceptance based on performance. See, so much of that, and the majority of the tyranny of our emotions, the anxiety, the discouragement, the self-condemnation, that's all from living under a system that has acceptance based upon performance. If I do this, then I will accept myself. If I do this, then my children will accept me. If I do this, then my husband will accept me. If I do this, then so-and-so will accept me. And so you live under a system of acceptance based upon performance. Listen, God has made you free from that system. Okay? The world might want to keep you under that, but you and your heart and your mind, you don't have to live under that. They might condemn you, but you don't have to agree with their condemnation. That's what I'm saying. All right? You can't change anybody else's thinking, but you can change your thinking. You can't change anybody else's viewpoint, but you can change your viewpoint. And that verse says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You have to know that Christ has made you free from all that. You have to know it. You have to know where God has put you and made you to stand. He has made you stand in the liberty of grace. That's where He says you stand. You got to know that it is so. But you got to believe it is so. You see, the chatter in your mind, the chatter in their mind is, well, yeah, but what about? Right? It's all the, well, yeah, but what about? It's all the yeah, buts and the what abouts. It's as though that verse doesn't mean what it says. As though God has forgotten the quote-unquote, yeah, but what abouts. You see, we read these verses and when things are going good, okay, everything's fine, great, I know who I am in Christ, I'm in heavenly places, I'm under grace, I'm not under the law, that's great. But when things start going bad and south, and we start experiencing those self-condemnations and self-attacks and so forth, things like that, that's when we say, well, yeah, I know He's accepting me in Christ, but what about? See all those yeah, but what abouts? Forget the yeah, but what abouts. Why are you listening to the yeah, but what abouts? Why trust and believe those yeah, but whatabouts? Why not believe and trust the God who is faithful, who He says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free? So we got to ask ourselves the question, where does God say that I stand? Where does God say He has made me to stand? He has made me stand in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You and I, we didn't make ourselves free. Christ has made us free. He has made us to stand in the liberty of Christ resurrected. He has made us to stand in the liberty of Christ who is on resurrection ground. He has made us to stand in the liberty which is the victory won by Christ. He has made us to stand in the person and the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where He has made us to stand. And in that standing, you are free. Free from the law. Free from bondage. You can be free from self-condemnation. You can be free from the tyranny of our emotions. You don't have to live and believe and accept those self-condemnation thoughts. We have to train ourselves to know where God says He has made us to stand. We stand in the liberty that Christ has won for us. And we have to believe it. And then He says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What a picture. Entangled. Let me use an illustration here. A number of years ago, I mean, this goes back when I was in college out in Texas. And I remember that when we had time off, we used to love to go snorkeling. And, of course, it was fresh water snorkeling, obviously, because where we were in Texas, we were in Central Texas. We were not along the coast and so forth. But where I was at school there, there was a real nice, clear, freshwater lake, pretty decent sized lake and so forth. And we used to love to go, at least I did, I loved to go snorkeling. I mean, it was just amazing. You of course, put your fins on and your mask and then the snorkel and everything. And we didn't have the oxygen tanks because we weren't down that long. But you could go down and, you know, you could train yourself to hold your breath for a long period of time, that type of thing. But, I mean, it was just so peaceful and just so quiet down there when you were down underneath the surface of the water and everything. At any rate, there was in this lake, it was a freshwater natural spring type lake and everything, and there was all these real tall seaweeds who the roots were obviously in the ground at the bottom of this lake and everything, and would go all the way up to the surface of the lake. And some of it was quite deep. We couldn't swim that deep, but you could still go fairly deep depending on how you could hold in your lungs and that type of thing. And it would just be so amazing because it was so quiet and peaceful down there. And you could see all the fish swimming around, and you could go swim in and out of the seaweed. It was like a jungle down there. It was pretty cool. It was a little nervous because you didn't know exactly what you were going to find and everything. And I remember one time that as I was swimming down and I was in the seaweed, kind of like in a jungle, it was pretty thick and you're kind of going in and out. And all of a sudden out from the side popped what turned out to be a pretty good sized turtle, a pretty good sized water turtle. And it really startled me because, it was a decent size, okay? I just wasn't expecting it. And so I decided, whoa, and of course you start to breathe pretty hard, your bubbles go up and everything. And I kind of got a little bit tangled in the seaweed. And, you begin to kind of panic. It was no big deal. I mean, just for a second and everything, and you kind of untangle yourself. Then you got to get back to the top to get some oxygen. But think about that. Imagine yourself, you're down snorkeling, or if you love scuba diving, you can go way down for a much longer period of time, of course, obviously. And you're down in that seaweed, and something comes along and scares you. Like, let's say you're in the Pacific Ocean, and a shark comes along and scares you. And now you panic, and you breathe, and you start to flail in the water, and now you get your legs and arms and feet wrapped up and tied in knots in the seaweed, and then it just has entangled you, and now you're panicking even more because you're going to be able to get up and get out and surface and everything before the shark eats you and that kind of thing. You see the concept there? Listen, that's kind of what happens. Life comes along. Events happen that startle you. They're unexpected. They scare you. They cause your heart and your mind to go sideways a little bit. And you begin to flail. And then the emotions come along. And then the condemnation. And pretty soon you find yourself entangled in that yoke of bondage. And you're under that yoke of bondage and it's holding you down. And it entangles you even more. And you begin to panic more. And then the anxiety comes in. And the discouragement and the depression and the fear and the self-condemnation. And it just begins to multiply more and more and more. And you begin to panic more and your heart's beating more and you can't breathe more. And you're using more of your oxygen and everything. And you can't think clearly. And it just gets worse and worse. You have to stop and say, wait a minute. The more I struggle, the more I flail around and so forth, the more I'm allowing myself to get entangled in this seaweed. Let me just stop for a minute, a second. You may not have a minute, okay? But you just stop and say, wait a minute. Okay, just let me calm down here. Let me begin to just easily take off the seaweed that's wrapped around my ankle and around my arm. Let me just kind of begin to pull it back and so forth and kind of shake it loose and kind of... And now get up and, you see, you just have to stop and say, wait a minute, I am not under the law. These feelings of discouragement and anxiety and condemnation, self-condemnation and belittling of myself, that's not who I am. Christ has made me free. I am who God has made me to be in Christ. That's what I'm going to believe. That's what I'm going to trust. I choose to rest there. And when you rest in that, you'll begin to find the peace of God that passeth all understanding will begin to come in and calm your thinking down. and slow down your breathing a little bit more and slow down your pulse a little bit more because it's calming you back down. It's amazing, by the way, how the power, it's quite amazing how, by the way, how the power, the supernatural power of the Word of God to work in the inner man actually has an impact on the outer man. In that, as it stabilizes the inner man, the pulse rate can begin to come back down. Your breathing can begin to settle back down a little bit. See that? Isn't that fascinating how the inner man can actually affect and does affect the outer man, you know? Just like the opposite is true as well. If you walk in fear and doubt and depression and discouragement and so forth and anxiety, boy, your pulse is going to go up, your breathing is going to go up, your heart rate is going to go up, the blood pressure is going to go up. Your inner man does affect your outer man. And we're looking for it to affect our outer man in a positive way in that we're allowing, choosing to allow the Word of God to come and stabilize our heart and our mind so that we don't allow the tyranny of those bad emotions, the anxiety, the self-condemnation to come along and beat us up and hold us down and then strangle us and smother us. You see that? Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now we've got to move on quickly. So here we're going to ask ourselves the question, where does God say He has made me to stand? He's made me to stand in the victory that Christ has already won for me. He's made me to stand in the made me free because Christ Himself is free. Therefore, I'm going to choose to not allow myself to get all tangled up in that seaweed. You'll remember that as the illustration, won't you? You don't allow yourself to get tangled up in the seaweed of that anxiety, that self-condemnation, those thoughts of accusations and so forth. Tangled up in that seaweed, that yoke of bondage, okay? Quickly, back. Let's go now to point number four, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3. This is such a vital one right here. We have to remember, look at Philippians 3:1. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Just the first part of that verse there. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Look at Philippians 4:4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Go back to Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Okay, I got a question for you. Now again, I'm going to ask you to type an answer in. Where is it that joy is to be found? Where can joy be found based upon that verse? Where can joy be found based on that verse? Somebody type something in. That's right, in the Lord, in Christ. Everybody see that there? Okay, now. If joy is to be found and can be found, and the only place, by the way, is in the Lord, in His Word, if that's where it is to be found, then if we are looking for joy, where should we look? Go ahead and type something in there. If joy is in the Lord, well then, if we are looking for joy, where should we be looking? That's right, in the Lord, in His Word. See that? So, let me use an illustration. You remember years and years ago in American history, the whole thing about the gold rush. Where was it that people were going to look for gold? They weren't going to Tennessee. They weren't going to Alabama. Understand that? Yeah, Sutter's Mill. There you go. The United States was a big place. But where did they find gold? Man, they found gold in California. Now, I understand it's not the only place they found, but go west, my son. Go west, as they said. You know? Well, why did they go there? Why did they go west? Because that's where the gold was. So if you wanted to find gold back then, that's where it was to be found. And I understand, again, it's, you know, I understand there were other places they found gold, but it's simply an illustration. If it's joy we're looking for, if it's peace we're looking for, if it's rest we're looking for, if it's comfort we're looking for, if it's consolation that we're looking for, God's Word tells us where it can be found. And it's in Christ through His Word. So that's where we should look. If we want to have joy again in our life, that rejoice, if we want to have peace again in our life, if we want to have rest again in our life, we got to look to where it can be found. And it's wrong to expect it to find it anywhere else. Don't expect to find the purpose and meaning of your life in the world. Find the purpose and meaning in your life in Christ and in God's Word. And that's how you find that joy. You see that? You're in the book of Philippians here. Right? Watch how he says it in chapter 2. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. Go to chapter number 2 and verse 1. Oh, I just love the way he says this. What, he's if there. The if here is not the if of, well, maybe it is or maybe it isn't. It's the if of logic. It's the if of beseeching. He said, man, if this is so, then this. But look at the word. Look at the verse. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Well, is he suggesting that there isn't any? Is that an if of maybe there is and maybe there isn't? He says, if any comfort of love. Is he suggesting that there is no comfort of love in Christ? If any fellowship of the Spirit. Is he suggesting that there's no fellowship of the Spirit? See, the if there, he says, if any bowels and mercies. It is, when he uses the word if there, listen, that's not the if of condition, maybe there is and maybe there isn't. It's the if of logic. It's the if of beseeching the Philippians to make sure they are going to the right source to receive that consolation and the comfort and the fellowship and the bowels and mercies. If it is consolation that we need, and we do need it, if it is comfort of love that we're longing for, and we do long for it, if it is the fellowship of the Spirit that we so desire, and we do desire it, if it's those bowels and mercies, those innermost emotions of God, if we can say it that way, the bowels and mercies, the innermost parts of His love for you, if that's what we need, and it is what we need, then guess what? We need to make sure we're going to the right place to find them, and hence to swim in them, to drink them in, to partake in them. If these are all found in Christ, and they are, then we need to go to Christ and His Word to experience them. Next time we need some consolation, don't turn to the world. Don't turn to the psychologist. Don't turn to the drugs and the alcohol. Don't turn to the cheap entertainment out there. Consolation is in Christ. Let's go to Him. If it's comfort of love that you need, the type of love the world gives is an empty, fleeting, just vain love. The kind of love that God gives is a deep, eternal, everlasting love that comforts the inner man. If it's fellowship that we're looking for, don't look for the fellowship of the world out there. It's the fellowship of the Spirit that we need. If any bowels and mercies, those innermost tender places of the Godhead that we need to know how much He desperately loves us, let's look to Him. Let's look to Christ. Let's look to His Word. If those are the things we need, and we do need them, the Word tells us where they are. So let's go there to find them. So when that verse says in Philippians 3:1, finding my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. If it's joy that we need, and we do need it, and we need it all the time, if we want to find joy again, rejoice. we need to make sure we're looking at the right place, the place where it can be found, the place where it is, and it is in Christ. So let's look there. So let's ask the question in relationship to this verse in the passage in Philippians 2:1. You know what? If I find myself condemning myself, if I find myself being run by the tyranny of my emotions, then it's probably because I have unrealistic expectations of what I'm expecting from life, from the world around me, from my circumstances. I'm expecting life to make me happy. I'm expecting my circumstance to fill me with joy. I'm expecting my circumstances to comfort me. You know what? You've got wrong expectations. That's not where you find those things. You find joy in Christ, consolation in Christ, comfort of love in Christ, fellowship of the Spirit, bowels and mercy. It's all to be found in Christ. So we have to retrain our thinking. We have to realize that the purpose of life, the meaning of life, is to be found not in the world out there. In the world out there, there's confusion and chaos and deceit, fleeting, vain, empty things. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God's Word that you find the eternal things, things of eternal value, things that come along and provide that comfort and consolation and encouragement and fellowship of the Spirit and the bowels of mercy. That place of the most tender inner being of the Godhead where He loves you. So these four verses, Ephesians 6:10, you got to know who you are in Christ, but you got to believe who you are in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You got to know about the relationship that God says that you have with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you got to believe that relationship. It's a relationship of grace. You got to believe where God says He has made you to stand, Galatians 5:1, and you got to stand there. Don't allow yourself to be entangled with that seaweed that wants to hold you down, pull you under, and drown you. And you got to remember, where are you to be looking for when you're looking for the purpose of your life, the meaning of your life, that joy, that consolation, that comfort, that fellowship, the bowels and mercies. May it be so. Let's just open this up to see if anyone has any questions or comments about our lesson today. If so, just click on the raise hand icon. And we'll give you the microphone. If you could keep it to the lesson, this series that we just did on the salvation from the tyranny of our emotions. Let's see, Scott, you had a question or a comment. Here you go with the microphone.
John, excellent message, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah, I was thinking that when we put ourselves under the law, we cannot grow in grace. We cannot grow in grace. As your seaweed example, I was thinking of my sister. She lives in northern Queensland in the wet tropics there. And I went out to visit her. She says, watch out for this plant called Wait a While. And what it is a vine, and it has hooks on, like fish hooks on you. I mean, I never got tangled in it, but boy, I think it has the name Wait a While for a reason, because a person who gets stuck in Wait a While is going to be stuck there for a long time. And I was thinking how the law does that. I mean, we can't progress in grace. We cannot grow in grace if we're under the law. Absolutely not. I mean, So it's a relationship of grace. I mean, our relationship with the Lord grows when we're not under the law. Thank you, sir. Excellent. Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great illustration. I didn't know what that vine was called, but I have heard about it. And it is quite, man, it can really rip you up when those little prickly things get into you. So that's a great illustration. And by the way, Scott, let me mention this as well. Last week when we were talking about Ephesians 6:10, 2 Timothy 2:1, about you got to know who you are in Christ. You got to believe you are in Christ. You got to know the relationship. Scott made the comment that, listen, when the life around you just pounds on you, he said it's like an illustration of a light tower. When the waves of the ocean come and just pound upon that light tower, that lighthouse, and you're inside the lighthouse, you're perfectly protected. And so, Scott, you sent out a great picture illustrating that point. And I wonder if there was a way we can get it out to everybody, maybe even post it on our website. It's just a great, the waves are almost completely engulfing the whole light tower, but you can see the light tower standing firm, and you look and kind of at a distance you see someone inside the light tower perfectly safe. So that, I really like that illustration. Thanks for sending that out. And maybe if you can find a picture of that wait a while vine you were talking about, that might be kind of cool too, to use it as a, and maybe have it available as part of this series. So thanks, Scott. Oh, excellent. Yeah, that's very good. It'd be cool if maybe we can get Mark even to post both those on our website as pictures of these illustrations and so forth. But cool. Okay, well, I don't see any other hands up at this point. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer, and we'll dismiss the class. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful that we can spend some time in your Word. So many amazing things about your Word. It keeps saying the same thing all the time. It never changes its mind about what its view is. It always says the same thing, and we're grateful that it does, because it proves your faithfulness. And it reminds us again and again and again that our joy and purpose is to be found in Christ. He is our hope, our life, and our strength. We thank you for the time we can spend looking into your Word. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.